You're back on the record.
Good afternoon. We are back on our May 31st board meeting. We're back on the record, back in, in good faith. We are going to finish today's agenda. That brings up resolution G18. Excuse me. I got to make a statement, or Jerry's going to get mad at me. Where's my statement? Here it is. I advise the board is not taking any formal action on matters discussed while in executive session. Is that good, Jerry?
Yes, for you, it's good for me.
So, item C is up next, resolution G18-05, approving the sale of membership interest in Mustang Operations Center, LLC, Mustang One, and Mustang Road, LLC, Carrico Petroleum, and providing finance for the same. John?
Resolution number G18-05. The board approved the initial investment in Mustang Operations Center 1 LLC, a.k.a. Mach 1 LLC, in April of 2014. Subsequent to the original investment, global oil market conditions deteriorated. Originally committed debt financing did not come through, and long-term financing for new independent oil and gas projects became more difficult to obtain. In February of 2016, ADA Management approved a warm standby plan and worked to secure additional financing. Later in June 29th of 2017, the ADA Board approved an additional $2.5 million investment in Mach 1 LLC to support completion of a certified well and a successful well flow test in the Mustang field. With a successful well flow test completed, Brookstrain Petroleum Corporation developed a modified development program for the Mustang field. The new program utilizes a turnkey early production facility, or EPF, and a drilling program to generate production revenue starting in the first quarter of 2019, bringing the Mustang field to proven, developed, producing, or PDP status. The modified development program.
That's smart.
Hello?
The modified development program reduces capital investment needs and promotes a shift in ADA's Mustang field role from an owner to a lender from Mach 1 LLC. Further, the parties agree that it is also desirable to shift ADA's role in Mustang Road LLC from an owner to a lender. This shift is captured in the revised Mustang Field Finance Plan, which incorporates the following key elements for the authority. ADA sells its current Mach 1 LLC membership interest to Carrico for $52.5 million, plus an amount to recover ADA investment costs. ADA sells its current Mr. LLC membership interest to Carrico for $8.5 million, plus an amount to recover ADA investment costs. ADA provides financing to Carrico for the purchase of the Mach 1 LLC and Mr. LLC interests of $64 million. So the combined ADA loans totaling $64 million plus any amount of ADA incurred interim costs plus interest would be amortized over the production period. In addition to repayment of interest in principal, ADA would receive options in Caracol's parent company, Alpha Energy Holdings Limited. As collateral for the loans, ADA maintains its security interest in all North Slope assets and in the Mach 1 LLC assets. And Alpha Energy Holdings Limited secures the capital required for Mustang Field drilling. Continuing to support the Mustang Field project is consistent with ADA's mission and is also supportive of the state's interest in independent oil development on Alaska's North Slope. And staff recommends moving the resolution forward, and staff and advisors are available to address questions from the board.
Thank you, John. Board questions.
Mr. Chairman, to begin the discussion, I would like to move adoption of Resolution G18-05. Mr. Chairman, I further want to move an amendment on Table 3.
I'll second that.
On Page 3 in Section 2, the next to last line, to delete the phrase non-material between any and modification, so that it, as amended, would read, with any modifications to those terms, the executive director determines to be appropriate. Mr. Chairman, the reason for offering the amendment is just the complexity of this transaction and the long workout process we've been involved in. I want to make sure our director has sufficient discretion to hold the
Any objections to that amendment? Okay. All right. The resolution is on the table for discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Mike Barnhill from the Department of Revenue. I just want to put on the record that in consultation with the Department of Law, the department's determined that it has a conflict of interest by virtue of being a creditor of Mach 1. So I will not be participating in the deliberation on this motion nor in voting on it.
Thank you, Mike. That's consistent with the position, and we respect that.
Mr. Chairman.
Brett.
I just would like to thank the staff and the team that's been assembled, including Mr. Gardner. The resolution of these issues that we've been working towards now for an extended period of time, the true value of the work that's being done here is in achieving production such that you then have cash flow that can meet these obligations and move the state forward, move the production facility forward. And I want to specifically note the performance obligations that Care Call is assuming, which is a phase one drilling program this year that produces a target of 2,000 barrels per day, and phase two for next year of a target of 5,000 barrels per day. The true way to monetize this investment is to make it produce, and I think that they've moved us much further down the road toward achieving that objective, and I'm appreciative of the intellectual work and hard work that's brought us to this point.
Thank you, Brad. Bernie?
Mr. Chairman, I echo some of what Fred says. I don't think this is the best deal in the world for the state, but it's a deal, and I will say that the staff has worked very hard to get us this far. I personally think that the state should have had a 33% interest in this field, and we should have left our investment in. That didn't work, so this is the second best deal. The best time to plant a tree is 30 years ago. The second best time is today. So I guess we'll plant this tree today, and we'll know here and by the end of 19 how we're doing. And I really wish these people well. And I think Ada's been over backwards to help them. So do I think it's the best deal for the state? No. But I'm going to vote in favor of it because we are planting this tree today. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Further discussion?
Question.
Question has been called for. Grin?
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Mr. Perry.
Aye.
Mr. Carr.
Aye.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Proof.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Elaine and I are yeses, not ayes.
Not ayes.
All right, brings up item number E, Ambler update.
Item D, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. We got one more resolution to go through. Resolution G-1804 relating to line of credit to Mustang Operations Center. John?
Resolution number G-18-04 authorizes a line of credit loan to Mach 1 LLC not to exceed $1 million as bridge financing to cover items like store fees and taxes, while ADA completes the restructuring of the Mach 1 LLC and Mr. LLC ownership interest into a loan with upside structure as discussed previously.
Is there a motion to put it on the floor?
Chairman, move G-18-4.
Second.
It's been seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would just note that the provisions of the resolution just adopted provide for the recovery of these funds, so I am in support of the resolution.
So noted.
Question.
Grin, question's been called.
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradise.
Aye.
Mr. Carl.
Aye.
Ms. Brown.
Aye.
Mr. Cruz.
Yes. My goodness, it throws me under the bus. Okay, that brings us down to item E, the Ambler update, and we have a PowerPoint update on this. John, is that correct?
Yes, sir. And we borrowed from the presentation to the House Resources Committee on April 6th, and it takes about 10 minutes to walk through, so I'll quickly walk through the discussion structure. So this project is about access. The future step is about infrastructure to enable another economic engine for Alaska. Amber Mining District Industrial Access Project is one of two special projects assigned to ADA. In 2013 to 2015, That timeframe, ADA received appropriations totaling $17 million, and roughly $13 million has been expended or encumbered, and just over $14 million remains. And I think everyone understands that federal permitting is expensive and challenging, but also I'd like to note that over 30 community meetings were held for the project, and these are critically important meetings, but they are not inexpensive. Today I'd like to just walk through an overview of the project, its history, the permitting process, and next steps. Why do we need it? The Amble Mining District is a resource-rich region with four key deposits known today. Decades of exploration findings were compiled in a USGS document prepared by Donald Rybeck in 1977. And these studies outline a district rich in gold and copper, as well as nickel, jade, molybdenum, and a variety of other minerals. In fact, the importance of access to the Amble Mining District was recognized as important to Alaska by the federal government, so much so that Congress and the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act provided in law a special provision to Alaska for access to the district, which is before you on page 7. Now, to provide a little bit of context, I borrowed this from the Institute of the North. Alaska is a connected economy. Its primary economic engines are its resources, oil and gas, seafood, timber, tourism destinations, and minerals. So when we take a look at industry infrastructure, it has been and still is the key to unlocking the state's economic engines, infrastructure including roads, ports, and shipping lanes. Now, this is the road and port. This is a picture of the road and port that services the Red Dot Line.
Tell a page for Mike.
Oh, certainly. And Commissioner, we are on, where's the page number, 7, 8, 9, 10, which is a picture of the road that services the Red Dog Mine, and which we believe is a model for industry infrastructure. And this provides a model for Ambler access. And we would look more to the road portion of the DeLong Mountain Transportation System that includes a soft shoulder 52-mile dirt and gravel industrial road. So moving to the next slide, which shows a picture of the port. For reference, the DMTS, or the Long Mountain Transportation System, also includes a warehouse, conveyor system, camp, fuel terminal, shallow water dock, and on-site power generation. In short, the DMTS is enabling infrastructure for this economic engine, an engine that's provided revenue to the state, to the Northwest Arctic Borough, to NANA, to other Native corporations through 7I and 7J payments, and provided job opportunities to not only NANA shareholders, but to all Alaskans. These are benefits for more self-reliant people and communities, and I think Alaska needs to continue to grow its economic engines. And this is just an overview. It's a bit dated. We're asking for an update of the Red Dog Mine benefits, including 500 to 600 jobs annually, a large share of NANA shareholder employment, shareholder wages, and royalties of over $1 billion and $700 million shared with other regions under 7I and 7J payments, $6.5 billion in net proceeds to NANA, and payment in lieu of taxes from TEC to the Northwest Arctic Borough. So continuing to grow its economic engines, that's the purpose of this project. A permit for access, construction of enabling infrastructure, supporting development of the economic engines that provide job opportunities and revenue to Alaskans. Now, for interested communities, there are a number of potential benefits, including broadband access, local jobs, better access to transportation goods and services, and a tax base to help fund community sustainability, including energy, water, wastewater, transportation infrastructure, and public facilities. However, we do recognize that there are some communities that aren't interested in these types of benefits of this type of economic engine. Now, moving over to the next slide, this is slide 16, which is entitled Project Process. This has been referred to as the Ambler Access Chutes and Ladders. Unfortunately, we don't get to shortcut anything. We have to follow the process. But I just want to emphasize the We Are Here stamp. We are at the completion of the scoping process that was run by the federal government through the Bureau of Land Management. And provided that there is a route that's permitted, there are still significant approval steps that remain, and I'll discuss these further on. So going into the project history, the project was initially assigned to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities in 2010 and reassigned to ADA in 2013. Likewise, community outreach started under Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and transitioned to ADA. So based on preliminary research and engineering, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities evaluated 8 routes. Western routes over wetlands and through national park and reserves, 4 to the west and 4 to the east. Have available, if needed, folks that can answer questions about the routes evaluated. So moving to the next slide, the evaluation of the Department of Transportation Public Facility Alternatives, it considered a number of important factors, including wetlands, endangered species, historic sites, wildlife, and migration patterns. The results indicated a route across the gates of the Arctic Preserve would have the lowest impact. So this led to the proposed Amber Mining District Industrial Access Project Corridor that was submitted in ADA's permit application. And please note that Evansville Incorporated had requested that the route not cross their land. Accordingly, ADA adjusted the route north prior to submitting the permit application. So we heard their request loud and clear. Now, for folks that are interested, we could walk you through the NEPA process used by the Bureau of Land Management. I think hopefully folks are familiar with the process. For Amber Access, the permitting includes a NEPA and an ANILCA Title 11 process, and the environmental and economic analysis process under ANILCA 2014, wetland permits and bridge permits. So, again, this section 2014 of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act provides a unique process for an approved route, and this EEA process is overseen by the National Park Service. And in terms of roles, ADA is the applicant for the permit. The National Park Service is preparing the environmental economic analysis under section 2014 of the ANILCA, and Bureau of Land Management is preparing the environmental impact statement under Title 11 of the ANILCA. As for the NEPA scoping process, it finished in January of 2018. That scoping summary report was provided at the end of April. Draft EIS is anticipated at the end of March 2019, and final EIS is anticipated at the end of December 2019. Now, in terms of next steps, there are many, as laid out in the project process. As of today, it's our job to address concerns raised during the federal scoping meetings and that were compiled into the scoping report, including subsistence and lifestyle concerns. And currently we are working to schedule community meetings that will take place over the summer and early fall with the goal of coming back to the board with a recommendation on how to proceed with the project. Now, that said, even with a permitted route, we still have significant required approvals for this special project. One is with the legislative authorization to ADA for bonds in excess of $25 million. We anticipate that there would need to be a large bond issue to support the construction of the route. We would need an approval by a regional resource advisory council that's appointed by the governor. We have rights of way that we need to negotiate with private landowners. And with the ADA board, we will require both project authorizations and bond authorizations for this project. So still a number of steps that are required for us to complete. Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Does the $25 million build the road?
Oh, this $25 million would not build the road. And there's a provision in our statute that if we issue bonds in excess of $25 million, that we need to get approval from the legislature. And right now, the estimates...
Greater than
yes, yes,
oh,
yes.
I got you. Thank you.
Yeah. And the estimates are roughly $1 million a mile, so roughly $200 million. And that's the overview of the update. Well, we have a lot of information that's, that the board is familiar with about ADA and its day-to-day operations. But again, to reiterate, looking at community meetings over the course of the summer and fall, and then coming back to the board with a recommendation on how to proceed.
John, I'm looking at slide 21. Does this road go through any organized part of Alaska, organized government in Alaska?
Yes, sir. The western part of the corridor goes through the Northwest Arctic Borough.
Will this be part of their full and true value, if their assessed value? Is it a public road or a private road?
It is a private industrial road, which is one of the main reasons that the project was provided to ADA, have a route similar to the road that services the Red Dog Mine.
So the borough will tax it then? They'll have taxing authority to tax the road?
Well, the way the Northwest Arctic Borough negotiated with Tech in that arrangement is they receive a payment in lieu of tax from Tech. So that's the source of the revenue from the Northwest Arctic Borough.
Same as that's a tax. It's same as a tax.
Right. Rather than a charge to ADA, which would increase the cost of service to Tech, which would then be again it's going direct to the source of the funds, to the resource.
With all respect, I would disagree with what you just said, but it's not something for today, and that's the source of my question. Would this be, this industrial road, be part of their full and true value that is imposed on the borough?
Oh, okay.
And that goes back to something else we don't need to talk about.
Oh, okay. I think
on the record.
Yes.
On the record, what's anticipated.
Right. And I understand your question. I'm not prepared to answer
that's
it right
fine.
Now.
Just, I so, was under
yes, I yes, I have.
We're going to keep talking about as long as I'm around. So, okay,
yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Yes, sir.
Ambler right. Scoping meetings. Who's going to be doing the scoping meetings? Is that going to be ADA staff or?
Let's see. In terms of the scoping meetings, they were actually run by the federal government.
Okay.
So the Bureau of Land Management and the National Park Service they ran the scoping meetings. What we anticipate from ADA side over the course of the summer and fall. Our follow-ups with the communities based on the results of the federal scoping meetings.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
And then, do we have Mark Davis in the room? Yeah. And then I asked Mark to provide a couple comments just related to
do it from there, Mark.
I had an operation on my foot and didn't quite go right. Getting better. For the record, my name is Mark Davis. What I wanted to just tell the board about is the issue of a lot of the comments, and they go to the issue of whether the road could be opened at a later date or could be bought by the state of Alaska or somehow changed from the kind of model that John just went through. And what I wanted to just tell you was, we started off with a request to the BLM for restricted access right away, and the BLM agreed that is what they would issue if they do issue one. And so that would mean that the first portion of the road that goes through BLM land would be controlled by ADA through that right away. The next thing, you have to cross land owned by Doyon, NANA, and DNR, and you'll have to probably negotiate easements with them. Traditionally, easements have restrictions on use and how you can use things. And as the board knows, if someone tries to buy the project, an easement is an inferior to a fee simple interest, right, like a lease. And sometimes when you try to transfer a lease or an easement, the other side may not agree. And then you have to negotiate, and it also may even stop a sale. So that's another restriction we've got. Another quick one is that there'd be rules for the road, like with the DMTS. Some of you have been up there and seen it. And we'd have those same kind of protocols on wildlife and usage, and you can't hunt off the road. All those things are in place. So in these meetings we're going to be doing this summer, we're going to try to get this kind of information out to the stakeholders and the public who are interested. The other thing would be, because you have an LLC, you have potential liability. You only have an insurance policy. Insurance policy will be for a restricted access road. And again, if you want to change that, you have to get a new insurance policy. You may not even get it underwritten. It becomes a whole issue. That's another thing that prevents it from just being changed. The history of the Dalton Highway is kind of haunts this project a little bit. The Dalton was issued with a public right-of-way by BLM originally and was meant to be a public facility by federal law and was always operated as a public facility. It was closed but it was only closed by order of the Commissioner of Transportation. So the Commissioner of Transportation in 1990 ordered it open. That resulted in litigation. And the Alaska Supreme Court ruled that because the BLM right-of-way was public, it was a public road. So the converse would be that if you have a restricted right-of-way by the BLM, then the road can be closed. And so we think that that's correct. And then, again, if someone wanted to take over the road, like the state wanted to buy it, it's also an ADA project. And as this board knows, it's supposed to make a return on what it does, and it doesn't give things away. If somebody would have to buy it, and then they'd have to change all those agreements. So that's just a quick overview of what we've built into the model. And now, John Wright, we need to get out and tell people more about what ADA does and how it operates.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for that update. In Burbank site, people will call me occasionally and say, what's going on with ADA? Kind of not fans. And I just say to them, with Ambler, and I just say, I don't know. So this right here is really helpful for me. So I'll have to be able to refer to it, make it look like I know.
Is this on the website, John?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for this. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And that's all of that with Ambler access. It can be independently accessed, or it can be accessed through a website.
Put some general dollars associated with this. Some of the funding. With that, we had a request earlier for how much the funding is.
Oh, yes, certainly. And then I'm surprised at the question because I had addressed that in House Resources that appropriations to ADA were $17 million.
Just
and yes, sir.
Just put it in your sheet.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay. Just enough to wander over. I already took the liberty of preparing a box sheet, and then we'll go, and Julie's going to go to the numbers, and we'll post that. It's public information. We want to make sure the record's clear.
Thank you, Mark. Good idea. I am now going to go to item F, IEP update. Gene, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
From Vienna, are you in a boat kind of paddling around? What are you doing?
Well, we can proceed quickly through a number of the items. Just generally, I kick down through the items that they usually appear in the quarterly update to the legislature on the LNG plant. No action has taken place in the past month. There is the issue of ICU, a desire to consider an alternative, and we'll discuss that a little bit later on. On the storage, I'd like Dan Britton come forward. I don't have a video or pictures to show you this month, but I'd like him to just give you a quick update on the status of the storage project.
Hey, Dan. So no fancy videos or pictures for you today, but hopefully in the next meeting we'll have another great set because we're about to get ready to start tilting the outer wall panels. So for the last since the last meeting, most of the work has been prep work outside of the site. We did have some final site grading, et cetera, and some preliminary work taking place on the concrete pad that was previously poured in preparation for the panels that we had to wait for weight restrictions to be lifted for them to move. So we're expecting the first panel will be on June 6th, Wednesday, to be delivered to the site and tilted, and they'll follow very quickly after. There's 35 already completed panels in Anchorage, total of 44 for the project. So there'll be a drastic difference in the site from June 6th and July, the middle of July, it'll look like we have the tank completed almost by that point. So everything's on schedule. Everything's been going smoothly. And the project just continues to click along. Well, so I look forward to the next meeting when I can have some updated pictures that'll look like there's a fair amount of work going on. So.
Thank you, Dan.
On the budget on schedule?
Yeah, something wrong with that.
On budget on schedule.
How many yards of concrete went in the foundation? I'm just curious.
About 1,800.
Is that continuous pour?
One pour. Yeah, started at 5 a.m. They were done about 5 p.m. and then had a couple more hours of finishing. So.
Well, now I know what the production for Fairbanks is.
It was all three plants.
Yeah.
Probably every concrete truck in Fairbanks was being used that day.
About 180 yards an hour.
Yeah. We had all three plants providing concrete. It was great.
Thank you, Dan. Gene, any more on the update?
On the distribution, do not believe there's been any additional money spent on distribution build-out. Dan may be approached as road projects go on for work this summer to be done while the roads are open under construction. House Bill 374, which is the on-bill financing, did pass the legislature. I worked very closely with Representative Wall and other members of the security delegation, particularly Senator P. Kelly and Chuck Bishop on the Senate side to help the position that bill to get passed. That was mentioned earlier under the public comment by Chairman Stroop as an important item to help consumers in the future with conversion. I'm sure a number of you remember a couple weeks back there was an announcement that the Fairbanks Smithtown Borough, through DEC, state entity, had qualified for $4 million of assistance to clean up the air. That's the maximum amount that they can get out of that program. I anticipate funding is going to continue in the out years, and there's a possibility that that maximum amount will be increased, and Fairbanks is unfortunately positioned to be able to get the maximum amount every year for a number of years. That money can be utilized through DEC, through the Fairbanks Fairstone Borough, in conjunction with the utility, and using things like the PACE legislation last year and House Bill 364 on deal this year to help consumers who would be economically pressed to actually convert to natural gas. On the North Slope pad, I believe Jim Hemseth is there. Give you just a quick status update of where we are with that process with DNR.
Hi, Jim.
I was going to say good morning, but that would have been optimistic.
It's morning where Gene's at.
Gene is. Quickly, as you know, we're moving from a pipeline right-of-way lease in the pad, which DNR has determined to be not appropriate either for any ongoing activity for ADA and specifically for a subtenant to a general purpose lease, so from a 38.35 lease to a 38.05.70 lease. That work entails going out for public notice of anyone interested in bidding on that lease. To date, we are just about complete, hopefully tomorrow or Monday, the lease application, which will go to DNR or DMLW. They will review and make arrangements to send out a 30-day public notice period. In the meantime, we have acquired the services of an appraiser and are in the process of acquiring the services of a surveyor for the pad and to appraise the pad, which are also requirements of that. So we're moving down that process. At the end of 30 days, if there's no interest in outside parties on bidding or on an auction on that lease, then the Commissioner of Natural Resources will have the option to do a sole source to ADA for the lease to allow us to have the 38.05.070 lease. And then subsequent to that, we can go with a sublease to Prudhoe Bay Chemical if they're still around. Right now, timing and the additional fees from DNR are not a problem. It's the timing and the lack of security on whether the project will be is impacting their ability to finance and move ahead. So if there are no bidders, other bidders, and ADA has the pad, they will proceed. If it goes to a public auction, we'll not have as I understand from Prudhoe Bay Chemical, we will not have an interest in the sublease of the pad.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
What happens if somebody else, if it's open for a public bid, what if somebody outbids the state? What do you do then?
Well, if someone would outbid ADA, and I'm not entirely sure how we bid yet, that's kind of a mystery, they will be required to pay us the fair value of the pad. That's part of the reason the appraisal is so important. But right now, we've spent just fractionally over $6 million on the pad of which DNR believes that $4.2 million is what the pad is worth. It does not require, they will not allow the recovery of the fee, the monies we spent with Spectrum to buy the rights to their pad as being a cost of the pad. Additionally, on that, Mr. Crowell, what's important is that there is also the need for a $530,000 adder for the public use price of gravel versus not public use, commercial use of the gravel for the pad versus public and charitable use of the pad, which was originally bought for.
So that's $3 a yard to the state?
$3 a yard to the state versus the 50 cents that we paid.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
And then, Mr. Chairman, just the final item. The most critical piece of legislation this year was the passage of Senate Bill 125 to extend the bond authorization for the IDB project. Senate Bill 125 did not pass. However, the language was rolled into the GASB legislation, which was also another piece of AIDA-related legislation. And that bill, House Bill 119, did pass on the final day. And a number of others have been to give taxation surety or surety on how the road facility and the Kitchen Shipyard would be treated for the purpose of the local contribution. That was settled also in House Bill 119, and they will be exempt from that contribution for a 10-year period of time. So it'll be a number of years before that issue and it will be reviewed by the legislature. So I think that brings me down to just the usual things that I inbox, that I'll check as I give you a project update, and then just to the IGU meeting on Tuesday. As I indicated in public comment earlier, I did express concerns to the draft letter agreement that was distributed or received by from Robin Breda on Friday, going into the holiday weekend, and did outline a number of concerns. I actually wrote out my comments and read them from a document that I saved just in case there were questions of what I said during the brief three-minute public comment that I presented. One of the board members did follow up with a question about whether, in fact, Section 8.8 of the FA would allow alternatives to be considered to the scope, and 8.8 specifically does do that. There was a little bit of back and forth discussion on that item, but then another one of the members objected to the ongoing discussion with public comment. And so I didn't have an opportunity to fully discuss, you know, either position on that issue. When the IGU board then did into actual wordsmithing on the letter, I was never asked to opine further on whether there were still concerns or whether the modified language would address AIDA's concerns. And so I take some exception to the portrayal of my participation as being, you know, helping to wordsmith the language and agreeing on Catholic AIDA.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. Any comments for Gene?
I was just going to say that we should also recognize Deputy Commissioner Faraday for his help during the legislative process. I know you helped us out too. Thank you.
I was part of the team, Mr. Chairman.
You were.
Mr. Chairman, I would like now to move forward with action on the IEP update topic. And to begin with, I'd like to move an amendment to the agenda to add resolution G1806 for consideration by the board.
Okay, it's been seconded. And would you read the top of the resolution?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you have the copy of you, but it's a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority approving waiver of the condition precedent to the sale of Pentex Alaska Natural Gas Company, LLC, to the Interior Gas Utility, approving a letter agreement with the Interior Gas Utility and extending the deadline for closing on the transactions with the Interior Gas Utility.
Okay. Thank you. Discussion?
Move that amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to put it on the table then?
I'd like to move the resolution of G1806.
Second.
Seconded.
Discussion, Mr. Chairman. The heart of the...
Would you like to put anything with that?
Yes. Let me work my way that direction. Okay. Mr. Chairman, the resolution that we're considering simply extends the time frame for the closing documents to June 14th. And the heart of the matter is that we are providing time for IGU to consider our action on their letter of agreement as proposed. I would like specifically to note that the letter that we're considering is the attachment to resolution G1806. Essentially, it's straightforward. It accepts the IGU pro-offered language regarding the North Slope pad, which was everything in their letter through section 2, and then it deletes section 3. And the board's view of the deletion of section 3, I want to begin by saying two things. First of all, we're intently focused on our partnership with IGU and getting to the finish line. And ADA is also intently aware of its role as steward of the resources that were appropriated to IEP by the legislature. It's our view that the Section 8 modification language that was proposed at this late date is unnecessary because the actual finance agreement already includes in the development process Section 8A language that allows consideration of a third-party proposal during that development process. And I'd like to read that language just for clarity. The development process for the project is as set forth in the scope of work and schedule of advances, and any material changes to the scope of work and schedule of advances must be agreed to by both parties. In the event either party desires changes to the scope of work and schedules of advances due to practical concerns relating to the project, including unforeseen circumstances or events, the parties shall promptly meet and confer to consider alternatives and determine if possible a change to the scope of work and schedule of advances. For purposes of this section, material is defined as a lesser of a change in value of $250,000 or more, or 2.5% of any particular line item in the scope of work. Mr. Chairman, as a member of this board, and as long and as many months as been spent in working on this language, one of my primary concerns is that we adhere to the framework of the financing agreement and the modified letter agreement that was sent to us, arguably at the 11th hour, has the potential to introduce change into the financing agreement due to the language that was proposed in the new 8.8 development process. There is a number of concerns with the proposed language, and for clarity and simplicity, I think by deleting it from the letter agreement, focusing the letter agreement on resolving the North Slope pad by accepting IGU's language, and leaving the 8.8 language as was astutely negotiated over a substantial period of time, gives us the best path forward for our continued partnership with the IGU board.
Gary, do you want to speak a little bit to the dispute resolution or what happens if both in the finance agreement? Isn't there a arbitration?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would speak to that. Thank you for that gentle nudge and reminder. It's also worth noting that the dispute resolution section 13.9 in the existing language in the finance agreement, 13.9.1 is in the event of a dispute arising out of the parties shall engage in good faith discussions. If such discussions are not successful in resolving the dispute to the satisfaction of the parties shall attempt to settle the dispute by mediation. And 13.19.2 just sets the venue for any lawsuit should proceed. But the mediation language that's in the finance agreement is strong. Inherent in this process is that we work with each other. I look forward to continuing to having an open dialogue and completing that work, and I think the two-week extension is appropriate to bring us to the finish line.
So, Fred, in your opinion, does that section that you're proposing deleting from the IGU letter muddy the water with the section you just talked about with the mediation?
Mr. Chairman, my view is that the language is unnecessary, and my fear is that when you introduce a new Section 8A development process, that its tentacles extend through the document as to what's defined where and what means what. We have a good development process. We have language within that development process that ensures that the parties work together, and we have a dispute resolution that requires mediation and further allows the parties to work together with a 120-day clock before you get to any commencement of a lawsuit. We have far more in common, both boards, in this project and in the success of what's been initiated. If you think back to where we started with the legislative appropriation, and as our executive director astutely calls, he calls these policy projects, which he likes to keep ring fence from our revolving loan fund. But this is a policy project being pushed forward for the benefit of the interior of Alaska. And with that $325 or $332 million of appropriation authority, the bonds, the loans, and the actual appropriation, we have been working diligently to bring forward. You've seen progress on distribution. You've seen progress on the tank coming out of the ground. We have a three-year gas term contract, which we foreshortened in response to IGU's concerns. But this is Fairbanks' best shot in half a century at clean fuel, clean air, and bringing us to the finish line. And I'd like to suggest we put the ball back to IGU. We took out their language and agreed to it. Let's get moving together.
Thanks, Fred. Any further discussion on the proposed resolution and attachment letter? Bernie?
Mr. Chairman, I totally echo what Fred has eloquently said. You know, we're close to the finish line now, and we have to finish. And I think that it was a great compromise today in taking the language that was put forward for the pad on the North Slope, and we used IGU's language word for word. And the body of the letter that we did take out was basically redundant, because all of those same issues that were in that letter, they are afforded already in the document. So I think this is a great start, and they have extended the time frame for them to make their decision, and I think we get on with the project. So I will be voting for this.
Thank you, Mark. Gary?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to please associate myself with Deputy Commissioner Paradise's remarks. Thank you.
Okay. Question?
Question's been called. On resolution G18-06. Quinn?
Mr. Wilkins?
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradise?
Aye.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Ms. Brown?
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Barnhill?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Thank
you.
Can I change mine to aye?
I'm going to look.
Yeah. You need to.
Okay, next up is item number 8, director's comments.
Thanks, Chair. The board requested we revisit our A to B structure as we do every few years. So at the next A to board meeting, we will be seeking authorization for changes to our regulations to get better alignment between ADA's fee structure and ADA's cost of doing business.
Okay.
The loan dashboard and reports, development project matrices, and project fact sheet updates are available for your review. The quarterly investment report prepared by Callan is available for review in my office. And then on the continuing education calendar, board members are interested in attending the course, please contact Sherry Severson. And the next ADA board meeting is scheduled for Thursday, June 28, 2018, at ADA's office.
Thank you. Questions for John? Board comments? Gary?
Thank you, Chair. I have two. On our dashboard, John, could we put where it's located in the state on page, not page, but it's just this
Is it the...
I'm looking at the
title.
Ada Loan Funds and Job Support.
Ada Loan Funds and Job Support is the loan participations.
Yeah. Just a city or a village?
Yeah, sorry.
Location.
Location.
Yeah, location.
The second thing, I have a person in Fairbanks who has taken a interest, for some reason, rare earth mineral interest in the Bokum. And he knows that we're involved in it. So I said, I know nothing about what you're talking about. Would you just put some things down? So with your indulgence, I want to read these things into the record, and then I'm going to hand them to our secretary. So that it's in the record as we march along on this. These things are a part of it. Number one, to Ada, for any UCOR development proposal that involves Bokum Mountain, will Ada staff please ensure that environmental permitting and positive feasibility study are both completed to industry standards prior to any request to the board to utilize the authorized mining authority? There's one. Two, if the feedstock for UCOR's potential Alaska rare earth separation plant is not Bokum Mountain, but rather from other sources around the world, will Ada staff please evaluate the history, reserves, reliability, market price sensitivity, and contract terms of those sources in the context of how they would provide UCOR a competitive advantage and thereby support UCOR loan amortization? So just for the record, UCOR pops up, there's a couple things in the text. Thank you.
Thank you for the comments.
Mr. Chairman.
Brad?
I just wanted to know that I attended the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation board meeting yesterday because Commissioner Barr was moved back from the China Trade Mission with the governor. And it was of interest to me that that board also has not seen an increase in its default rate on its heritage loan programs. And I know in our dashboard as of April 30th, we show essentially our delinquent loan rates have been under 1% for over a decade. They peaked back in 2003 at 5.5%. But I think that both barometers are an indication of underlying strength of Alaska's economy, even as we cope with this ongoing deficit issue in the state, et cetera. So I just wanted to call attention to that. And the second thing that I wanted to do was, as we close out this IEP effort, I want to thank the IGU board and Jomo specifically for taking time to be here today, for participating in the process, for working with us to resolve throwing issues. I want to thank our staff. I deeply want to thank Gene Terrio for his ability to find a pathway to yes, to find solutions, and I just urge us to stay the course and finish the job.
Thank you, Fred.
Here.
Further comments? Mike, anything?
No, sir.
I also would like to thank Jomo for coming down and his participation. I think Jomo's done a great job getting IGU as far as they have, and I look forward to working with him to finish this up.
And I'd like to thank the staff for their commitment and work that they have brought forth to us.
Well, I'd like to thank the staff also, but the board today for roughly 6.5 hours of solid work through lunch on numerous topics and challenges. And look forward to seeing everybody next Thursday, June 28th, for next board meeting.